This is an independent project funded by no one else but our listeners. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a paid subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. Details are in the descriptions. Thank you. Journey to the West, an audio drama series. Chapter 11, Part 1. We return to Taizong, who was following the steps of Judge Cui and Marshal Zhu after escaping from his enemies and creditors. After walking for a long time, they reached what is called the Sixfold Paths of Transmigration. There were beings who soared on clouds dressed in colorful mist. Ones with official appointments who had a goldfish-shaped tablet hanging on their waist, as well as monks, nuns, Taoist, and secular people, walking beasts and flying birds, and all sorts of ghosts and monsters. Every single one of them was running into the wheels of transmigration like waves, each moving in different directions. The Tang Emperor asked, "What does this mean?" The judge answered, "Your Majesty, given how wise and intelligent you are, do keep this in mind and inform the living. This is called the Sixfold Paths of Transmigration. Those who do good ascend to the path of immortals. Those who remain loyal are reborn to the path of nobility. Those who are filial reincarnate to the path of blessing. Those who live justly return to the path of humans. Those who accumulated virtue advance to the path of wealth, and those who commit sin fall to the path of ghosts." The Tang Emperor nodded at his words and sighed. "Ah, how truly good is goodness. To do good will never bring illness. In a good heart always abide. On a good way, your doors will fling wide. Let no evil thoughts arise, and all mischief you must despise. Don't say there's no retribution, for gods have their disposition." The judge led the Tang Emperor all the way to the path of nobility for rebirth. He bowed and told the Emperor, "Your Majesty, this is where you exit. This humble judge shall make my way back. I will instruct Marshal Zhu to escort you a little further." The Tang Emperor thanked him, saying, "I appreciate you bringing me such a long way." The judge reminded, "Once you made it back to the world of the living, Your Majesty, do remember to hold that grand mass of land and water to deliver those aimless and wronged souls. Never forget. Only when the underworld is free from noises of complaint can the world above enjoy the blessing of peace. Anything that was wrong could be made right. Teach the people of the world about doing good. That way, I guarantee your bloodline will continue to flow and your empire will forever stand." The Tang Emperor nodded at everything he said before bidding farewell to Judge Cui. Then, following Marshal Zhu, he entered the door. Inside the door, the marshal found a brown horse fully equipped with rein and saddle. He urged the Tang Emperor to mount the horse before leading them away. The horse ran like an arrow, and before long, they arrived at the bank of the Wei River outside Chang'an. And on the surface of the water were a pair of golden carp turning waves in the river. The Tang Emperor was delighted to see this, so he reined in the horse to keep on watching, unwilling to leave. The marshal urged, "Your Majesty, we need to hurry up. We need to get inside the city while it is still early." The Tang Emperor only lingered around and refused to go. The marshal then pulled on his foot and shouted, "If you won't go now, when?" And with a loud splash, the Emperor was pushed off the horse and into the Wei River, effectively taking him out of the underworld and back to the world of the living. We now speak of the Tang officials who were still in mourning in the White Tiger Hall with the royal family. There were discussions on the release of an edict of mourning, which would inform the nation of the sad news and announce the crowning of the heir. Just then, Wei Zheng said from the side, "Do hold on, my dear colleagues. Let's not do this. Don't do this at all. Should the lower governments be disturbed, I fear there will be havoc. Let us wait for one more day. Our emperor is sure to return to life." From a distance came Xu Jingzong, who said, "Prime Minister Wei is absolutely wrong here. As the ancient saying goes, spilt water can't be retrieved, just as dead people can't return to life. Why talk such nonsense now and mess with people's minds? What do you even hope to accomplish?" Wei Zheng answered, "To tell you the truth, Mr. Xu, this humble clerk has mastered the skills of the immortal nature since a young age. My predictions are the most accurate, and I can guarantee His Majesty is not dead." Just as they were talking, a voice could be heard from inside the coffin, yelling nonstop, "I'm drowning to death!" Every official, civil or military, was shaken with fright. The empress and concubines, too, were scared out of their wits. Before long, everyone had run out of the hall, completely terrified. Who would dare come near the coffin now? It was all thanks to the righteous Xu Maogong, the just Prime Minister Wei, the courageous Qin Shubao, and the bold Yuchi Jingde, who rushed to the coffin calling, "Your Majesty, should you have any worry left unaddressed, please let us know. Do not haunt the place and frighten your family." Wei Zheng explained, "This is no haunting, it's His Majesty coming back to life. Bring the tolls here this instant." They opened up the coffin and indeed found Taizong sitting inside, still repeating, "I'm drowning to death. Who is here to save me and pull me out?" Maogong and the rest came forward to lift him up, saying, "Wake up, Your Majesty. Don't be afraid. We're all here to protect you." The Tang Emperor finally opened his eyes and said, "What an ordeal we went through. First we escaped the trouble of menacing underworld ghosts, and now we are suffering from death in water." The minister said, "Calm down, Your Majesty. There is nothing to fear. What disaster in the water is here?" The Tang Emperor explained, "We were just riding a horse all the way to the bank of the Wei River and saw two fish splashing around. This Marshal Zhu tricked us and pushed us off the horse. We fell into the river and nearly drowned to death." Wei Zheng said, "The ghostly aura has yet left you, Your Majesty." They immediately instructed the imperial physicians to prepare a herbal soup with sedating effects, as well as a porridge diet. Only after taking them a couple of times did the emperor return to himself and understand his surroundings. Since the Tang Emperor's death, 3 full days have passed before he returned to the throne alive. It was already late, so the ministers urged the emperor to go to bed first, before excusing themselves. The next morning, they took off their mourning apparel and put on colorful garments as they waited outside the gates for summoning. After being carried to his bedroom by his subjects and having taken several rounds of medicine and food, Taizong had a solid night's sleep to recover. He slept till the sun was up and his spirits were heightened. Look at the way he's dressed. Donning a towering crown, wearing the robe of yellow ochre, tied on his waist the green jade belt from Lantian. He wore shoes symbolizing his undefeated road to the throne. Stunning, surpassing anyone in the court. Awe-inspiring, enough for the day's glory to be restored. What a great Tang Emperor of justice and virtue. His Majesty named Li, who died and rose again. The Tang Emperor climbed up to the treasure hall of gold carriage, where the officials gathered. After all the formalities, the ministers lined up according to their posts. Then came the imperial announcement. Should there be business, come forth and report. Otherwise, court will be dismissed. At that moment, civil officials from the east side and military officials from the west side all came forward and prostrated themselves before the pale jade steps, asking in unison, "Your Majesty has been caught in a dream since the other morning. Why did it take so long for you to wake up?" Taizong then detailed his adventures, starting from the moment Wei Zheng handed him the letter all the way to when Marshal Zhu pushed him into the river. The officials heard the story and were full of praise. They then compiled the events and informed all the lower officials in the country so that they could submit their words of congratulation. We will speak no more on that. Afterwards, Taizong released an imperial edict of amnesty to prisoners nationwide. A review of those jailed for serious charges was also done. At the time, judges from the Ministry of Justice delivered a list of over 400 criminals scheduled for hanging or beheading. Taizong released them home so they could say goodbye to their parents and siblings, as well as entrust their properties to relatives and descendants. They were to return on the same day a year later to receive the punishment they deserved. The prisoners thanked the throne and left. On top of that, an announcement on the welfare of orphans was released. The emperor also reviewed a list of about 3,000 palace maids, both old and young, before releasing an edict to have them marry to military personnel. And all was good, in and out of the palace. After Taizong freed the palace maids and gave leave to the prisoners on death row, he also released an imperial proclamation to be posted throughout the land. In the proclamation were teachings on doing good and never bowing to evil thought. From then on, not one person in the country acted without good intentions. A notice to recruit the virtuous was also issued in order to find someone to bring fruits and melons to the underworld. And one treasure room worth of gold and silver were entrusted to Yu Shi Jingde to bring to the Henan city of Kaifeng, where they would be paid back to Xiangliang. After the notice had gone up for several days, a virtuous man agreed to deliver the offerings. He was originally from Junzhou. His last name was Liu and given name Quan. He came from a very wealthy family. It was only because his wife Li Cuilian pulled off a golden hairpin to give to monks as alms in front of their house that Liu Quan gave her a good scolding. He blamed her for betraying womanly manners by leaving her room without permission. Madame Li was so upset she hung herself to death. This left their two young children, a boy and a girl, crying day and night. Liu Quan couldn't stand watching this, and so without a better choice, he decided to end his own life as well. He thereby abandoned his properties and children and intended to deliver the melons by death. After he pulled off the imperial notice, he was brought to the Tang Emperor. The Emperor released an edict and sent him to the lodge of the Golden Pavilion, where he would put a pair of pumpkins on his head, put some yellow paper money for the dead in his sleeves, and swallow poison. And so Liu Quan did die by poison as his soul, carrying the melons on his head, came to the Ghost Gate. The guard at the gate shouted, "Who are you? How dare you come here?" Liu Quan answered, "I am an imperial envoy of Emperor Taizong of Great Tang. I am here to present melons as offerings to the 10 kings of the underworld." The ghost guard happily led him inside. Liu Quan then came straight to the treasure hall of diversity and met King Yan. As he presented the melons, he said, "By the orders of the Tang Emperor, I have brought melons from far away as a token of thanks to the 10 kings for your great mercy." King Yan was delighted and said, "What a trustworthy and virtuous Emperor Taizong is!" They accepted the melons and began asking the name and origin of the envoy. Liu Quan answered, "This humble man is a resident of Junzhou. My last name is Liu and my given name is Quan. Due to my wife Li hanging herself to death, leaving a pair of children without care, I volunteer to leave my property and children behind in order to sacrifice my body for the country." That's why I came specifically to offer the melons on behalf of my emperor. Thank you, your majesties, for your hospitality." The 10 kings heard his words and immediately ordered a search for Liu Quan's wife, Madam Li. Ghost messengers quickly brought her to the Hall of Diversity, where husband and wife were able to reunite. After a thorough discussion of what took place before, the couple thanked the 10 kings again. King Yanluo then checked the register of life and death, and found out both of them were granted longevity comparable to immortals. He quickly ordered the ghost messengers to send them back to the world above. The ghost messenger reported, "Li Cuilian has been dead for a while now and her body is no longer available. Where could her soul attach to?" King Yan said, "The royal younger sister Li Yuying is about to die an unprompted death today. You may borrow her body and let Li Cuilian's soul return to life." The ghost messenger received the orders and took Liu Quan and his wife back to the living world. As they left the underworld, with a chill wind circling around, they soon arrived outside the mighty city of Chang'an. Liu Quan's soul was pushed into the lodge of the Golden Pavilion, while Cuilian's soul was brought into the residential quarters of the palace. Princess Yuying was at that moment strolling on green lichen under the shade of flowers when the ghost messenger bumped right into her and pushed her onto the ground. The messenger then snatched her soul and pushed the soul of Cuilian into her body. We will speak no more of how the ghost messenger reported back to the underworld. The palace maids, having witnessed Yuying fall to her death, hurry to the Hall of Gold Carriage to report to the Empress, saying,
"Her Royal Highness the Princess has dropped dead."
The Empress was alarmed and reported to Taizong right away. Taizong heard the news and nodded with a sigh. "This is indeed true. We asked the 10 kings of the underworld about the well-being of the family. They said all would be well, but they were afraid my royal younger sister would not live very long." They were proved right. The royal family gathered in grief. As they all came to the shade under the flowers, they found that the princess was still breathing slightly. The Tang Emperor instructed, "Stop weeping, stop weeping. Let's not alarm her." He then went up to lift her head with his hand, calling, "My royal sister, wake up, wake up." The princess suddenly turned over and yelled,
"Walk slowly, my dear. Wait for me."
Taizong said, "Sister, it's just us here." The princess looked up with open eyes, asking,
"Who are you? How dare you drag me here?"
Taizong answered, "It's your royal brother and sister-in-law." The princess said, "Where did I ever get a royal brother and sister-in-law? I was born in a family named Li. My baby name is Li Cuilian. My husband's name is Liu Quan. We are both from Junzhou. 3 months ago, I pulled out a golden hairpin and gave it as alms for the monks. My husband blamed me for going out of doors without permission and betraying womanly manners. He scolded me and I became so enraged that I hung myself to death with a white silk sash. I left behind 2 children who cried day and night. Now, because my husband acted as envoy of the Tang Emperor, he went to the underworld to offer melons. King Yan took pity on us and sent us back here. He was walking in front of me. I was behind and couldn't catch up with him before tripping over. How rude you all are. You don't even know my name. How dare you drag me here like this?" Taizong heard her words and told the crowd, "Our sister must have become delirious after the fall. She isn't making any sense." And so he ordered the imperial clinic to prepare a herbal soup and had Yuying brought into the palace. Later, when the Tang Emperor arrived at court, an aide suddenly entered to report, "Your Majesty, the envoy of melons, Liu Quan, has returned to life and awaits your summoning outside the gate." The Emperor was shocked and quickly summoned Liu Quan inside. As Liu Quan prostrated under the vermilion steps, Taizong asked, "How was the business of offering the melons?" Liu Quan then gave a thorough account of his journey. The emperor then asked, "What did you see in the underworld?" Liu Quan answered, "Your subject didn't move very far, so I didn't see much. I only heard King Yan ask about my origin and name. I told him everything about me abandoning my family and volunteering for this task due to my wife hanging herself to death. He then ordered a ghost messenger to bring my wife along so we could reunite in the Hall of Diversity. Meanwhile, he reviewed the register of life and death and said both of us were destined to enjoy longevity comparable to immortals. That's why the ghost messenger was ordered to send us back here. I was walking at the front, and my wife was following behind. It's very fortunate that we can come back to life, only that I have no idea where my wife has gone." The Tang Emperor asked in astonishment, "What did King Yan say about your wife?" Liu Quan answered, "King Yan didn't say much. I only heard the ghost messenger say, 'Li Cui Lian has been dead for a while now and her body is no longer available.' Then King Yan said, 'The royal younger sister of Tang, Li Yuying, is about to die an unprompted death today. You may borrow her body and let Li Cui Lian's soul return to life.' I have no idea where this royal younger sister of Tang is or where she lives, so I haven't gone around to look for her yet." The Tang Emperor heard this and was filled with delight. He then told his many officials about the incident with Princess Yu Ying, concluding, "What she said exactly matches Liu Quan's words." Wei Zheng then reported, "The royal younger sister happened to live a short life. Since she spoke such words so soon after waking up, this must be Liu Quan's wife coming back to life using her body. Such things do happen. Let's invite the princess out here and see what she has to say about it." The Tang Emperor said, "We just ordered the Imperial Clinic to prepare medication. We wonder how things are now." He then ordered the concubines inside to invite the princess out. The princess, meanwhile, was still blabbering, "What medicine are you feeding me? This isn't even my home. My home is built with cool tiles, not like this house of jointers with its gaudy doors. Let me out! Let me out!" As she was shouting, several maids, plus a couple of eunuchs, lifted her all the way to the hall. The Tang Emperor asked, "Do you still recognize your husband?" Yu Ying answered, "What do you mean? We've been married since young. I gave birth to and raised his son and daughter. How could I not recognize him?" The Tang Emperor then told the servants to take her away. The princess then left the treasure hall and came straight to the jade steps, where she saw Liu Quan. She seized hold of him, saying, "My husband, where did you go? Why wouldn't you wait for me? I fell over and had these nonsensical people shouting around me. What is happening?" Liu Quan recognized his wife's style of speech, but saw that it was not his wife's face, so he dared not acknowledge her. The Tang Emperor said, "Truly, men have seen mountains cracking or the gaping of earth, but none has seen the living exchanged for the dead." What a virtuous ruler! He then took his royal sister's makeup boxes, garments, and jewelry and gifted them to Liu Quan as if they were dowry. An imperial edict was also issued to exempt him from any compulsory service in the future, as he was to take the royal sister home with him. The couple thanked the throne before the steps and happily returned home. And so they left the emperor and came straight back to the city of Junzhou, where they found their old property and two children in good shape. They then spread the word on how they were rewarded for their virtues. We shall speak no more of that. Journey to the West, an audio drama series, is an independent production by the Fifth Monkey. For subtitles, please visit our YouTube channel. Subscribe for free on YouTube to get us closer to monetization. For access to all the locked content, please consider becoming a pay subscriber for less than $3 per month on Spotify or support us on Patreon and Ko-fi. You will have a chance to access the latest release and other exclusive content. Head to www.fifthmonkey.com. thefifthmonkey.com for links to all the platforms we're on and support us on social media. Shares, comments, emails, all are welcome. This is Lynn. See you in the next episode.